Hey everybody, good morning. It is November 18th, 2021. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, the voice of the American Consortium of Equity in Education. Okay, it's a pleasure to have you here today. Everything we do, including archiving this show, is going to be over at ACE-ED.org, and you can check out our wonderful magazine called Equity and Access. You can see every podcast we've ever done and listen to the ones you choose. And you can link over to our new website, which is called seltoday.org, all about social emotional learning. So please, it's all at ACE, your whole world's at ace-ed.org, at least ours is, as a matter of fact. Got a nice show for you right now. We're going to actually go to Cranston, Rhode Island, to Cranston High School West. All right, to talk to their creative writing teacher, one of their creative writing teachers, Evan Lancia, and also talk to my good friend, Jill Akers Clayton, over at Fielding International. We've got these two adults together. They're going to be hosting with me three of the students that Evan taught, and we're going to do some poetry reading that the kids wrote on equity. And these are, I think, seniors and juniors over at Cranston High School West. So let me start just say good morning, Jill. How are you?
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm fine, as a matter of fact, up here in Maine. How's life in Colorado?
Life in Colorado is wonderful. I just got back from Green Bay, Wisconsin. We had some snow up there, but we've got no snow in Colorado yet. But all things are going well. We are working through lots of amazing projects over at Fielding International, and one of those is the work that we're doing with Cranston Public Schools to reimagine what the future of learning looks like. And Evan Lancia is a definite expert in his field, as well as a risk taker, and really doing relevant work for his students and with his students. And I'm really excited that he and his students are able to share with you today.
Well, I can't wait for this. And where are you in Green Bay? Are you a Aaron Rodgers cheesehead? What's going on?
We were doing a design critique with KI Furniture over there. They are rolling out some new prototypes, and so they invited our team to tour their factory, learn how they make their furniture, as well as give them feedback on future designs. And there's my dog. I'm so sorry.
There's your dog. What's your dog's name? Dogs are welcome here. What's his name?
His name's Major Cheeseburger.
Major Cheeseburger, you're welcome on the show, and you, for barking during the show, you get a cookie.
There you go. Well, okay. Yes, sir, you got it.
Okay, and I'm glad you had a good trip to Green Bay, and yes, I know it was snowing because I watched the game the other day. Okay, it was on Sunday night, I think, so we're good. All right, this is excellent.
Right.
Evan, are you there? Yeah, Evan?
Hi, Larry.
Hi,
can
Evan.
You hear me?
I can hear you beautifully. How you doing?
All right. Very good, Larry. Thank you for having me today. And the kids, we really appreciate it.
Oh, we're going to have a great time. And I'm not going to use the kids' last names, if you don't mind. We got Alexandra, Rachel, and Aya here. Okay? But I'm going to leave their last names out of it, if that's okay with you. So tell the kids,
totally,
I love them. They know their last names. I would just prefer, okay, to do it that way. Is that all right?
Yes, that's totally fine. Thank you.
Yeah. I won't leave your name out. Evan Lancia, everybody. How long have you been teaching, Evan?
Hi, Larry. This is my 10th year as an English teacher.
Wow.
I've taught at Cranston West, but I've also taught in Providence. I've taught middle school, and this is – Cranston West is my favorite, though, because this is where I went to high school as a kid. So it's pretty amazing to be able to teach at the same place that you went to when you were a student.
Right, and the fun part is that you get to go back and call your old teachers by their first name.
I'm still too shy sometimes to do that. I'm still calling them Mr. and Mrs., and they get mad at me, but I still do that too, Larry.
It is funny, and I had the same basic experience. It's really just an amazing thing, Evan. And can the kids hear me? I don't know if they can hear me right now. Can they hear me?
Yep, they can hear you. They're just walking in because we start a little – like right about now. So the bell had just went off a few minutes ago, and they're just filing in. So they hear you, and they're ready. They're looking at me like, oh, my God.
Well,
I'm
like,
crazy.
What's going on here? Hello, Alexandra. Hi, Rachel. Hi, Aya. And you guys can call me Larry, or you can call me Mr. Jacobs, but I like Larry. So you're welcome to call me that. Okay,
they're
kids.
Smiling. They're smiling and waving. They can't wait. They're
good,
smiling
cool.
and waving.
And we're going to get to them in just a second. But their poems, if I'm understanding this correctly, are reflect. I love that you did this, by the way. These are kids that are in. I think, are they all seniors or are they juniors as well?
So this is a mix. It's the class is pretty senior heavy, but you are able to take it because it is an elective, but you do have to be in good standing in English. So we have a few juniors, but mostly seniors. And these kids are, you know, they're great writers and they take everything we do really, really seriously. So it's an amazing group. I really, really enjoy being with them.
And what fun to teach them. What's the project? Talk to me about the project you're doing and how this came about so that we can preface their work.
So this started in the summer. Jill had, approached us in our district with the PBL, the project-based learning, and our district is really taking that on in full. And the project-based learning is essentially a new way for kids to do work. We want to get out of the old habits of rote memorization and memorizing things and just taking tests. Gives the kids a more hands-on approach, a more personal approach to their own education, and a way for them to really learn, and a way for them that, you know, they can get together with one another. They can learn together instead of like this idea that you're alone in your education. So I really, really enjoy teaching this way because it gives them, you know, a little more stake in their own education, which is pretty cool.
It sure is. And let me just ask, I just must ask this, how are we doing pandemic-wise? I assume all the schools are opening grants and everybody's feeling safe and happy, right, Evan? Tell me
yes. Everyone's good. Everyone's here. Good. We're all safe. And, we're all here with our masks on, but we're still rocking it. So we're doing well.
Good. Well, keep your masks on. That's a very safe way to do it. Okay, I got to tell you. All right. And so now how'd you come up with this? I know what the project is. How did you come up with the theme? I assume the theme what is the theme? Identity, equity, or help me out. Help me out, Mr. Lindsay.
Yeah, absolutely, Larry. It is. So I came up with this idea because I wanted all the students. I believe when students write their own story, equity comes to life for them. I am a firm believer that, you know, you have to have your own choice. You have to have, you know, your own way to basically get the information you want out to people. So when I was thinking of this, I said, I want them to do really personal poems. I want them to do poems that are going to matter to them. And what I came up with was, and this changed a little bit. I was talking to Jill about, I wanted them to do like a cultural or an ethnic piece, something that matters to them. But then I realized a lot of the kids, you know, they were more leaning toward the identity piece. They wanted to do poems that matter to them and not so much like the cultural or ethnic side, although some people did that and you'll hear that today. But they wanted to do things that really, really mattered to them and were really important to them. So what we did was we kind of changed the project a little bit. And what we ended up doing was every student ended up picking an item that was very important to them. And then with that item, they were able to basically have a little window into their soul, into their life. So that item was the catalyst, and that kind of showed you a little bit about them and basically, you know, was a way for all of us to connect and all of us to bond through these poems. So it was a really cool thing, and we saw there were so many connections. Even though the items the students picked were different, everybody really connect, and had similar themes, similar topics. And again, you'll see that today when they read their poem.
Oh, that's really, really cool. I just got one last thing before I bring the kids on. Jill's a senior education designer over at Fielding International, which is an architectural firm, but they get very involved in the learning as they design schools. And, Evan, I'm just curious how you worked with Jill on this. I know you guys probably get along great. She's so terrific, old friend of mine. But tell me, how did Jill get involved with this, if I may? Evan.
Yeah, no, Jill was great because with the PBL, our school is trying to switch and trying to shift. And Jill focuses on like the space and the learning space and the learning environment, which we're trying to change and we're trying to shape. So with the projects, we're gonna work better at utilizing our spaces in our classrooms better and work on basically you know, getting out of that old idea of, like, everyone sitting in rows, everyone sitting in desks. We want the kids to, you know, be able to move around and work collaboratively. And this project brought the best out of the kids, and they were able to do that. Jill was a great guide. Jill, you know, she broke it all down for you, how to get this project going. We did 2 days in August of PD, and she was a great, great help. And basically, you know, from conception to the brainstorming all the way to the follow through to being here with you today on the podcast, she's been with me every step of the way.
Great.
She's been fantastic in helping me do this.
And Jill, just before I get to the kids, your thoughts on this, Ms. Akers Clayton?
Well, I just, hearing that just makes me feel like a proud mom in that sense. Like, and I really appreciate that, Evan. And it takes a lot of work. It takes, you know, approximately 3 years to start to really turn around or transform schools where the practice of pedagogy and the physical environments really come together. And so Evan is part of our third cohort of teachers, but he's really part of the middle school and high school cohort where we're starting to transform and work with pedagogical practices to meet the future of learning in their space. And Evan has just been an educator that said, all right, let's dive in. And his project idea came up, Larry, and I instantly looked at him like, oh, we have to put you on Larry Jacob's show because you guys would be amazing. And this project is really so focused around equity, social and emotional development, and really giving kids a voice.
What we do.
And Evan is a phenomenal teacher and really thoughtful and intentional with his students. So it's been a pleasure.
Well, I get that impression. He's a pretty darn good teacher. So let me find out from the real source. Alexandra, can you hear me?
Come on, Alex. Hold on. Here she is, Larry.
Alex.
Hi. Thank you so much for
having
me.
Hi, Alex. I'm Larry. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. You're talking to a lot of people here, so let's get down to the nitty-gritty, okay? How is Mr. Lancia as a teacher? Is he really nice to you? I'm going to ask this to Rachel and Aya, too. Okay, is he really nice to you? Right?
He's an amazing teacher, yeah.
That's a nice thing to say. And I, by the way, if you want to buy them, I have all the answers to his next test. I'm only kidding. Okay? And then B, okay, when I was in high school, this is 10 million years ago, my teacher made me read a book called The Mill on the Floss. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It was the worst book I never finished in my life. I still owe a book report 50 years later. Okay? If he ever tells you to read Mill on the Floss, call me immediately. Okay? Got it? Don't read
it. Got
it. Okay? Drop out of school if he does that, but don't do that. I'm only kidding you. Alex. Okay?
Yes.
I want to hear your poem. Go ahead. Alex is a junior over at Cranston West. Okay? Go ahead. Alex. Alexandra. Go ahead.
All right. Can I give you a little background about the poem
first? You can do whatever you want. Go ahead.
Okay. So for mine, I did more of the identity piece of it. So a big part of my identity was my family. And so my dad passed away when I was 12. And the item I ended up choosing was my stuffed bunny from when I was a little kid. And it was kind of like our little thing. And I called her Bunny Bunny. So the poem is about Bunny Bunny, and I named the poem just A Nice Simple Dad. And the poem goes, Bunny, the white, fluffy, stuffed bunny I used to sleep with every night, green bow tied around her neck, now worn out and old, and full of the constant reminder of someone who is no longer here with me anymore. Full of pain, full of sadness, and full of tears. Bunny Bunny missing before bedtime, Daddy, go find her for me. And he does. He comes to the rescue like a superhero, turns the tears to a smile in the blink of an eye. And then it's time for a story, maybe two if I'm lucky. And, of course, I can't go to sleep without a song from him, but it has to be Bad, Bad Leroy Brown. Bunny Bunny came with me everywhere. I couldn't leave her behind. But my favorite place to bring her was the PC basketball games, not just to watch basketball, but to watch Dad do the stats for the team, what he loves to do most. Going to see him before the game starts, he'd show us what he does behind the scenes and during the game. And sometimes he'd put his headset on me so I could pretend that I was just like him. But my favorite part would always be waving to him and blowing him a kiss from across the court during timeout. Bunny Bunny, full of sadness, but also full of memories. Full of smiles, full of laughs, and full of hugs. Now a constant reminder of how far I've come and how strong I've become.
Wow. 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 Okay. You know, right now there's somebody up in heaven with a big smile on his face with a tear in his eye. You know that, don't you? Okay. Do you
yes,
still have your, do you still have your, that was beautiful, by the way. Do you still have your bunny? Do you still have?
I do, yeah. I do.
Well, and if I may, you said that your dad played, did your dad play basketball? You watched him play. Where was he playing? Or coaching?
No.
Whatever.
He didn't play, so he was the statistician for a college basketball team, and we'd always go and watch the basketball games when I was younger.
And that was the PC, you said, which is Providence College.
Yes.
Right? Wow.
Yes.
Alexander, that was just beautiful. You were a junior?
I am a junior, yes.
Wow. Okay. How did you feel when you wrote something like that? That's very touching, very sentimental, very beautiful. I mean, that's hard to say. If you're a kid, those are hard things to get out. And I'm just curious, you know, if I asked you to explain it, it would be difficult. But when you write a poem like that and let your emotions flow, okay, it might be perhaps easier. And I'm just curious, was it?
Yes and no. I thought it was, the words didn't come to me kind of quickly, but it was also full of a lot of emotion. I did, when I wrote part of it at home, I did tear up a little bit. But
sure you did.
It just, but for the most part, I mean, it came to me pretty quickly. I knew what I wanted to put down and how to make it all flow and sound good.
Well, I have to tell you, Alex, it's beautiful. And here, put Mr. Lancey on for just a second. Just put him on. And thank you, my dear. Put him on.
Thank you.
Well,
hi,
Larry.
Thank you again, Alex. Can we everybody
could you,
give
could
Alex
you, I don't know, wait a minute. Evan, could you hear me the whole time I was talking?
Yes, we hear you the whole time, Larry. Thank
you. Oh, okay,
you.
Good. Okay, she gets an A. Okay, that's first of all.
Obviously.
Okay, yeah, she gets an A. She can skip junior year, go right on to college. That's not a problem. Okay, she's that good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, sir.
And that's
amazing.
Incredible. When you,
great writer.
I have to ask you, when you read something like that, what happened to you? That's a very emotional poem. That's
oh, of course.
Teacher,
I mean, you know,
Mr. Lancia.
Yes, and most of these poems are that. And again, once you give everyone, that's what this is all
yeah.
about. That's what we're doing with Bill. Once you give everybody the opportunity, and that's exactly what you're all about, once you give someone the opportunity, then they're going to show you about them, and they're going to show you about their life, and that's what I try to do, because you obviously,
yeah.
you care way more when it's about you and it means something to you, and that's what we try to do. That's how we try to, you know, educate at Cranston West. We try to make sure that, you know, these kids have a personal education, a personal experience. And, you know, it means something to them. And that poem obviously means a ton to Alex.
Oh,
you know, when you read
unbelievable.
That, when I read that, you know, immediately, you know, I wanted to just give her a hug. You know, that's not
yeah.
like immediately what you feel. You're just like, oh, it was just such a beautiful, touching poem, as you had said earlier.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm always amazed. I'm always amazed. And from a literary standpoint, too, she has the great techniques of repetition and stanzas
yeah.
and all perfect,
yeah.
you know, perfect lines. So she not only did hit on all the emotional points, but she hit on all the literary things that we've been talking about and going over in class too. So, you know, couldn't be any more proud.
Well, she did fabulous. And again, she's only a junior. Okay. Wait until next
only
year.
A junior.
Okay. Yeah. She'll be reading at the next inauguration. What about Rachel? Rachel, come on. Rachel.
All right, Rachel's ready. She's right here. Here
Rachel?
You go, Rachel.
Hi.
Hi, Rachel. I'm Larry. So it's Mr. Lancey. Is he being nice to you? I just want to make sure.
Yeah, very nice.
He's good? He's okay? He passes? You're okay with him? Everything's good?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Excellent. And you're a senior. Do you know what you're going to do next year?
I want
to sound like your father.
School.
I sound like your father. What are you going to do next year, Rachel? Good. What are you doing?
I want to go into PA school.
Into what?
Like, I want to be a physician assistant.
Really? Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's great. Go do it. Did you apply to school yet? Have you applied?
I applied to a few. I still have a few more to apply to.
Okay. What's your school of choice, if I may ask?
Right now, I really like UConn. But there's also the University of Vermont. That's really nice, too. So I have a few.
Beautiful. Beautiful. That's a great place. I was just up there recently, up in Burlington, and it is a gorgeous, gorgeous school. St. Mike's is right next door to it, too. Okay? But now, since you said, and one last thing before we hear your poem, you said University of Vermont, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We refer to that as UVM. Am I correct?
Yes.
Why do we say UVM? Why not just UV? There you go. There's your trivia question.
I don't know.
Because you're going to know this. In Latin, it's the University of the Green Mountains. It's three words. Vermontant, or maybe it's French. University Vermontant, University of the Green Mountains. Of course, the state is the Green Mountain State. Vermont. Three words.
Cool. Huh. I didn't know that. I love that.
There you go, gang. Okay, your trivia question. That will win you when you're old enough bar bets at school. Okay? Got it, Rachel? When you're old enough. Okay, good. Okay? Yeah, so that's why UVM is three letters. All right. You want to tell us the background of your poem?
Sure. I wrote a poem, and it's called Pennies from Heaven. And it's about how I was kind of skeptic about, like, signs from heaven and all the stuff that my family really believed in. And so my grandma passed, and we would see, well, I would see pennies everywhere, and then it kind of just changed my mind.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Okay.
That's pretty cool. Okay, I got to tell you, that's pretty cool. You know, it's a famous song, Pennies from Heaven.
I didn't know that now.
You look it up on the web. Every time it rains, pennies from heaven. Look it up. Listen to it, okay?
I will.
You will. Okay, let's hear your poem. Rachel?
Heaven. That's not Larry. Signs from heaven don't exist, exclaimed my Nana as she gazed at the clock reading 2:22. It's always been crazy to me to think that people are still present when they're dead. Nana never believed in that stuff, but her daughters would try to sway her, putting those stupid thoughts in her head. Mom, I need a sign for when you're gone, said my mother, begging my Nana to comply. She said, fine, Angela, I'll send you pennies for any time I see you cry. That's just a myth. Those things are never true. But eventually I'd end up begging the world that I could hear from you. You're just like your grandma, I constantly hear, with a tough attitude and a smart mouth. We think the same. Comedic relief and a helpful hand was something we both tried to maintain. Being the glue of the family, shoes I could never fill, to glee I keep everyone from floating off the ground. Signs from heaven don't exist, I tell them, but it's the only way we manage to keep you around. Day after day, pennies continue to appear. A simple coincidence, I tell myself. No way these copper coins came from heaven. No way at all, not a chance in hell. I see them in the halls. I see them outside. I see them by my feet in the car, in bathrooms, on sidewalks, at my worst, at my end, when I've had enough of it all. Simply, I'm stubborn. I was taught to think realistically, see everything through. So every time I see that stupid penny, it takes my mind right back to you.
Give her a hand.
Wow. Bravo. Bravo.
Thank you.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful. That's pretty deep. I got to tell you, that point you made at the beginning, how do we know that people who die are still around? All right? And how did you, I must ask, how did you find that in yourself to write that, Rachel? That's really deep down inside. It's really lovely.
Thank you. It's just with the whole experience that I really was skeptic about the whole thing, and my family never was. Like, they always believed in the signs from heaven. But then, like, after my grandma died, I really do see pennies everywhere. And, like, every time I go through something bad, I see a penny, and it's just, like, it kind of made me a believer.
Wow. Wow. How hard was it after you wrote it to read it back again, okay, and say to yourself, wow, this is where I am on this?
I mean, I don't think it was really hard because I really do feel that in my heart, that every time I see a penny, it's my grandma. So every word that I wrote, I really do believe.
Well, are you collecting pennies in a big jar?
Yeah, actually we do.
Good girl. That's what I like to hear. Again, that was just beautiful. And to be able to bring that out in yourself and come to that realization and then put it down so beautifully. I mean, this is really, really, really good stuff. Okay, really
thank
good
you.
Stuff. Thank you, Rachel. That's great. And good luck next year, all through this year, of course, and getting in where you want to go next year. I hope you get into UVM or wherever you want to go.
Thanks.
Okay? Thank you. Put the big kahuna back on, Mr. Lancia.
Okay.
I like that, Larry. I'm going to have everyone call me the big kahuna from now on.
Big kahuna.
I like that.
Okay, there you go. All right? Right. When you, again, I have to ask, you know, and both it's interesting. Both of the students talked about the losing someone.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm
yeah.
sure you picked up on that too. And of course but they did that. This is so much so beautiful. And you mentioned this earlier about finding objects that reminded them of that person. And I how did you do that, Evan? That's really beautifully done as a teacher. You must have been. Were you surprised at the time at how powerful these were, or did you expect this?
Nah, to be honest with you, I've been doing the creative writing and the teaching of these classes for a while, and this is the chance that kids get to really open up and be themselves and show
yeah.
who they are. Whereas like in a regular class, a lot of times it's doing essays or doing more, technical things, where this is their chance, this is their time to do something that, they feel really strongly about. So I'm never surprised, because the topics and the things they pick, it always blows you away because
yeah, it does.
Something that's so important to them. And it's something that they want to get out. They want to get this off their chest. And, I'm more than happy to hear them and just guide them. These kids are great, great students, and they're great writers. And when you're writing from your heart, I think Rachel said, to be honest, it's pretty easy, right? It just comes out because you wanted to get that out there. So it's not, obviously we do a lot of revision and, a ton of, group work and peer editing and all these things. But, for the most part, I feel like their experience, it goes pretty smoothly because they're speaking about something that is important to them that they want to speak about.
I think it's just wonderful, and I want to hear from Aya right now. Okay, thank you.
Yes,
thank you, Evan.
Aya's gonna divert from the theme we've been going with, and I'm really excited for her to share hers. Here she is.
Wait, Aya, are you there?
Hi.
Can you hear me? Hi, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And you're a senior too?
Yes, I am.
And what are you going to do next year? Again, I sound like your dad.
I'm looking into a pre-med track, and I'm like a good family girl, so I want to stay close to home. So all the colleges in the Northeast, I can't really go away from my family.
That's good. I love that. The colleges in the Northeast are just great. I live in Maine, by the way, just a little bit up the road from you. Okay, so I'm glad you're staying in good old the Northeast, wherever you go, New York, Pennsylvania, all the way up through here in Maine. I think that's wonderful. Good luck. Have you decided which school maybe is the top one for you?
Northeastern. I'm also a really big city girl, so I really like Boston, Providence.
Okay, cool. Very good. And my wife was accepted years ago to Northeastern, but she wound up going to Penn State, which is where I met her. There you go. Okay? So I got a little Northeastern connection there. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Good luck. And Boston is a great college town. Okay, it really and truly is. What's the theme of your poem, if I may ask?
So I'm the person who kind of tied into – I took the opportunity that Mr. Lante gave us with the whole culture thing. I'm a very cultural person. I know you can't really see my appearance right now, but I do wear the covering, the Islamic covering. So mm-hmm. I really stand out at school, and I seize any opportunity to talk about my culture. So right when Mr. Lincoln mentioned the word culture, I had to jump right at it.
Good for you. Good for you. Another heartfelt moment. Let's hear it. Go for it, Aya.
Yeah, so a little background is I'm Syrian, and as we all know, Syria is going through a civil war. So my item was a kufiya. Yeah, it's a kufiya, which is what protesters and all that, they wear a covering to protect themselves from sandstorms because the Arabian Desert and all that. So I kind of just connected myself through the kufiya. And the title of my poem is called The Cloth That Comes from the Threads of Civil War. So it goes 42 inches long by 42 inches wide equal 1,764. These are enough to cover my country's perseverance, presence, and pride. A decade ago is the last time I had been, and today I am more than 5,000 miles away, but my country is immortal through its treasuries derived from within. So when anyone asks about my history, believe I'll do anything but keep it a mystery. I come from a place of rich, poor, and everything in the middle, a place that celebrates life with vendors of potato sandwiches on a half-broken griddle. At the market that is opened only on Fridays, a beat-up sign labeled Su'i Jama'a overlooks civilians, indicating the weekly celebration of our Syrian craze. But like everything else, hate will dominate, put a population of what used to be 22 million and place them on a battlefield to determine their fate. On these battlefields, a kufiya is worn to prevent the sandstorms of combat through the Arabian desert and return us back to the innocence in which we were born. So it was needed. I wish my people didn't resist, because we achieved everything but the freedom we wanted, and I'm left with nothing but a cloth to remind me of the home that I missed.
Wow. Yay. Wow. The way I heard you, you must have been like 7 when you left Syria. Am I correct?
Yeah, it was before I started kindergarten. So it was just like before I was really to introduce to like Western society. And it was just like, it was kind of difficult, you know, to kind of adjust from like 2 different lifestyles. But, you know, I kind of overcame it.
Yeah, it's a lot easier when you were a kid, so young. It's a little easier, I got to tell you, than when you were an adult and much more settled in your ways. I hope you get back there someday. Do you still have relatives over there who are in the midst of all
that? Yeah, we are in the safer areas, but, like, a lot of them also moved to, like, Saudi Arabia and, like, Lebanon and Jordan. So they're all good.
And a lot of people moved to Turkey as well. A lot of people moved up to Turkey. Yeah. It's amazing. What part of the country were you in? Were you in Damascus or...?
Yes. Both my parents are from Damascus, so we're kind of, like, from the capital, like, the main part of Syria.
And do you, I must ask, do you speak Arabic or read Arabic?
Yes, I'm fluent in reading, writing. I teach kids. I actually teach refugees that come from, like, Syria and Jordan and all that. I teach them, like, English and Arabic and religion. I kind of, like, tutor them. And then I also tell them my stories of, you know, like, adjusting to Western society, because I know, like, I've, like, been in their shoes, you know?
The immigrant experience, it's the story of this country, okay, as immigrants coming in together. And by the way, your ability to speak Arabic is extremely important these days. Don't ever lose that, okay?
That's extremely
it's a tie to your culture, quite obviously, but it also is something we need here, okay? That's going to help you a great deal as you grow more into adulthood, etc. That's just beautiful, and I'm glad you are so proud of your heritage and your background. Okay, please continue to do that. Okay, that's really really important. And put the big kahuna back on. Okay, and I have good luck with everything. And you'll enjoy Boston when you get up here, when you come to school. I hope you do make it up here. Okay, up to Boston, a little further north, but hi, Evan.
Got it. Hi, Larry. Thank you.
Yeah, are you kidding me? So, what did you think when you read that one? What's that say to you?
I mean that is just such a, you know, that is such a doorway to a new world, a world that I don't know a lot about. So she, you know, she's able to educate me, and that's the best part about being a teacher. You know, I'm always willing to learn and want to hear your story, especially if I don't know much about it. So that was, when I first read it, I thought it was amazing, and that's why I wanted Aya to present today as well, because I thought, you know, that's something that a lot of people would love to hear. That's something new, that's something different,
great,
that I think people could benefit from hearing from.
It's great. And let me throw the question the other way. As she, and I'm sure you're all of the students, I assume this, heard that poem. Okay, I heard Aya's poetry, your students in that class. What was their reaction to that? Because that poem is different from the other ones, but you could read that in social studies class. Because we talk about the immigrant experience, you know, and you know, everything about that in today's crazy world where everybody's so mad at everybody else, okay? The kids must have had a reaction to that type of poem. I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think with our class, this is a really, like, tight-knit group, and a lot of these guys are really friendly, and they've known each other for a long time, especially being seniors. The environment is always, like, very open and very supportive, particularly in, like, this writing class where you're constantly sharing and you're constantly opening up to people. So for me, I know for sure, like, Rachel, you had worked with Aya a lot and Jay as well. I know for sure that, you know, the environment was always open, always welcoming. And the students are willing to learn as well, you know, and I think they appreciate, you know, being given a chance to look at a different culture, to look at a different, you know, a different way of life and getting that information. They could probably learn more from that poem than they do, like, in a history class, because here you have the first-hand experience, and I think they got a lot from that. So I think her classmates were always open and supportive.
And now I got a funny question for you. These three wonderful students were all young ladies. Okay, how'd the guys do with this? Were they as open as the young ladies were?
Yeah, the guys were amazing.
Really?
Good. If we had 3 or 4 hours, I would have wanted everybody to go. But you know, they were so great, and you know, a lot of cultural pieces, a lot of emotional pieces. The guys were great. They were able to open up just as well. Although sometimes in the past that's not as easy to do, but these guys are great. They were really able to open up, and they went with it too. So that was great to see.
And what kind of themes? I'm just curious. What kind of themes did the guys do? Were they the same type of thing? Okay.
We had a ton of different things. Ryan, you did one about somebody who had passed as well. Jay actually did one on India, which is where he's from and his culture.
Yep.
That was pretty cool. And then Dylan did his about his own identity, which was really, really cool and really, really powerful. So those three guys did a great job with theirs. And Oswin also did on independence and creativity, which was really cool. So they did a great job, the guys as well.
That was fun. And I know Jill can hear me. Jill, is Jill still there? I'm locked off here. I just realized that. Okay, I'll talk to Jill. We'll do another show in the new year. You can bring the guys on.
Yes, that would be great. That would be great.
Somehow Jill dropped off. I just noticed that on my screen. I don't know what happened. Okay, and hopefully she'll call right back in. All right, but it's really, really, really important stuff what you're doing to get this out there. And I have one last question. Okay, I have mentioned potato sandwiches on a grill. Did you hear her say that?
Yes, she did.
Part
I was most curious about.
Well, I'm curious. Why don't you go down to the cafeteria? Tell them to get some ethnic foods in there.
I'm with it, Larry. Yeah. I'm with it. I was most interested in that as well. I'm a big foodie, so
It's like the Damascus version of my hometown Philly cheesesteak. That's what it sounds like.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to learn more about that. It's great stuff. Evan, thank you so much for bringing the kids on. And young ladies and everybody here, they were listening to me at Cranston High School West. You guys are doing great, man. You got a great future ahead of you. Thank you, ladies, and the guys, too, who will get on next year. All right. Evan, this was super. What can I say? Thank you.
Thank you so much. We appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, Larry. We really appreciate it.
Believe me, my pleasure. Take care. Good luck. Have fun. And to everybody, enjoy the turkey next week.
All right. Thanks, Larry. You, too. Have a great
Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Evan Lancey, everybody, who's an English teacher in his 10th year teaching at Cranston, Rhode Island High School West. And he teaches creative writing. Alexandra, Rachel, Aya, your kids were wonderful, and I'm sure the guys will be equally good. We'll bring them on next year. For some reason, my good pal Jill has dropped off, but she'll get back, and I'll send her a copy of this. All right, and we'll get them on. All right, we're going to archive this show over at ace-ed.org. And, you know, it's all about equity. That's what we're talking about. And it's all about social-emotional learning. And you can hear how the two, that it all comes together. Just amazing. All right? I'm going to thank you all. Okay, my name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. We'll archive at ace-ed.org. Thanks for listening.